share something that God's put on my heart. And sometimes I really have to wrestle with God about what that is, but that's not how this was in preparing for tonight. It was so cool because Jeremy sent me some notes last week to just kind of give me an idea of where he wanted this series to go. And then last night I got on my computer and I just started typing my thoughts. And I just got so inspired, and I'm just typing. And then I pulled Jeremy's notes out. And it was as if it was just one sermon meant to be from start to finish. His thing just flowed totally into what God gave me to share with you tonight. And I am asking you tonight to honor the Lord by listening to what he has to say to you. Can you do that for me? I hopefully you respect me enough to, you know, not be a distraction, but what I'm asking of you is that you honor God and that you really listen with your heart to what he wants to say tonight, because it's important, okay? So, tomorrow is my 60th birthday. I like to say I'm going to be 18 for the 42nd time. I don't feel a day over 500 on most days. Sometimes I do, but kind of crazy to, because I remember when I was your age. I remember when I sat in a small Methodist youth group and just really didn't have a whole lot of idea what was going on with the Lord. But God moved in my heart when I was a teenager, and he did some amazing things that have brought me to this place where I'm able to share with you. You know, a lot of bad things have happened, a lot of good things have happened, but all of it is what God has used to bring me here on this night. So if you ever had a friend who was just like really opinionated, you know, someone who just, if they thought something, you knew exactly what it was, and they weren't afraid to tell you about it and to tell everyone about it. Anyone ever have a friend like that? Okay, a few of you. I've known people like that. These people are really well known for their voice, for their boldness, for their confidence. And even though that's really hard for some of us, because believe it or not, with me standing up here in front of you, I have always been painfully shy, especially when I was younger. But it's really hard for some of us to do those things, to speak out in that way. And sometimes speaking out in that way causes embarrassment for the person who is being so vocal. But you kind of have to admire their boldness, don't you? I do. So if you needed someone to speak out on your behalf, that might be the first person you'd want to go to, you think? You guys are going to have to talk to me tonight. So have you ever had someone speak up for you?
Yes.
Yeah? Maybe they corrected the record when you were falsely accused or gossip was being spread about you. I want you to know that's a good friend that'll speak up for you. Have you ever spoken up for God? A lot of times it's easier for us to speak up for our friends than it is for us to speak up for God. And I'm not really sure why that is, but we're going to talk about that tonight, about speaking up for God and speaking up and standing up for what's godly. So speaking out for God can take many different forms. We see Pastor Dennis on Sunday mornings and Pastor Jeremy on Wednesday nights, and we see people get up and they preach, and that's one of the ways that you can speak up for God. But by no means is it the only way. It can be teaching, you know, your Sunday school teacher, whoever that is. It can be singing. You know, Nick tonight was leading worship. And in doing that, he was speaking up for God. He's pointing the way to him. The way that you live your life is a way for you to speak up for God. We call it living out loud, living your life in such a way that people know, by the way that you live your life, they know that he has made a difference in your life. But tonight I want to zero in on one particular way of speaking up for God, and that is by sharing your story or your testimony. Ephesians 5:11 says, "Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them." If you are going to effectively share your story or your testimony with other people, there's a couple things that have to happen. One is you have to not participate in the evil. You have to expose it, and you have to speak out. In other words, make sure that the words that you speak line up with the way that you act and the things that you do. Because no one's going to believe your story. They'll just view it as a lie. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 9. We believe that Jeremiah was a teenager when he wrote these words. Beginning with verse 4, "The Lord gave me this message. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb." Think about that. "I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. O sovereign Lord," I said, this is Jeremiah speaking. "O sovereign Lord," I said, "I can't speak for you. I'm too young." And the Lord replied, "Don't say I'm too young. For you must go wherever I send you and say whatever I tell you. And don't be afraid of the people, for I will be with you and will protect you. The Lord, I the Lord, have spoken." Then the Lord reached out and touched my mouth and said, "Look, I have put my words in your mouth." As I said, we believe that Jeremiah was a teenager when these words were written. But just think about that. God knew you before you were conceived. He has a plan and a calling for your life, and he's not waiting for you to, quote, grow up. He has a plan that includes today. You don't have to wait until you turn 18 or 21 or 60 or whatever it is. He wants to use you today. Many of us are guilty of thinking, "I'm going to make a difference when I'm older," when God's plan is to use you now. We can't just rely on our pastors, our youth pastors, our music ministers, and our kids' pastors, our parents, and other spiritual leaders. You can't just rely on them to do the work of God, because the work of God includes you. God will give you the words. You just have to step out and speak them. You are never too young to speak out for God. Then 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Now, excuse me. "Now who will want to harm you if you're eager to do good? But even if you suffer for doing what's right, God will reward you for it. So don't worry or be afraid of their threats. Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life." Hear this line. "And if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it." If you hear one verse of scripture tonight, that's it. If someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. But do this in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. Then if people speak against you, they'll be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ. Remember, it's better to suffer for doing good, if that's what God wants, than to suffer for doing wrong. People who don't know Jesus only know a life of sin. They don't have a point of reference. They don't look at life through the same prism that you do. That's why they need you to be able to speak into their life. It may be that the only way they will encounter Jesus is by you speaking out for him, by sharing your story and the difference that he's made in your own life. See, these verses tell us to always be ready to explain our faith in Christ. The question is, are you ready if someone asks you a hard question? Well, I mean, what if they ask you a question about the Bible that you don't know the answer to? I think that's one of the things that makes us afraid sometimes. Are you ready for someone to question your faith? One way for you to be ready is to think about, to write down, and to verbalize your testimony. And that is the story of God's intervention in your own life. So here's some questions I want you to ask yourself. As you think about your testimony, as you think about your story, the story of your walk with God, as you think about that, here's some questions to kind of get you on the right track. Because I can't tell you, like, you know, I do these Iceland trips every year. In June, I'll be going for my 19th time. But one of the things that I do on this trip is the guys that I take on the trip, I have them share their testimony at some point during the trip. So we kind of work through that process of figuring out what our testimony is. What's my story? What do I have to share with someone else that is going to benefit them and encourage them and challenge them in their faith with Jesus Christ? So I have these guys, I mean, all the time, you know, well, I don't have a testimony. And the reason is because they listen to someone else's story and they begin to compare their story with this other person's. Well, that guy was on drugs and God delivered him and you know, he did all these horrible things and then he got saved, and my story is nothing like that. Well, your story's not supposed to be like that. Your story is your story. It's between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. Sorry. I feel very passionate about this message tonight. So you're just going to have to bear with me if I'm bouncing around here. Some questions to ask yourself. Do I believe in God? Do I believe in Jesus? And if so, in what way do I believe in Jesus? Was he just a good guy? Was he a good teacher? Was he a prophet? Or was he God the Son? Is he God? These are questions for you to think about. Have you ever had a God moment, something that really couldn't be explained by anything but an encounter with the living God? No possible way it could have been a coincidence. Or have you ever experienced the presence of God? If you've had those God moments, what's the point? In your God moments, what did you learn or experience? How did it make a difference in your life or in someone else's life? It's not about going and having that high point. It's not about going and feeling the emotion. If it doesn't change your life, it means nothing. What's your backstory? How did your past bring you to this point in your life and in your relationship with God? You have to know that every pain, every disappointment, every trial, every victory, every joy, every moment of spiritual growth, all of it was meant to bring you to God and to make you into the man or the woman of God that he created you to be. All of it was preparation for this moment so that you could do what God asked you to do. And another question just to ask yourself, what's God doing in my life right now? Where am I? Where am I in my relationship with him? Here's a question. It could make some of you mad. But what I hope is that it just kind of hits you between the eyes and makes you think. Is my relationship with God, or is it just with my friends who happen to go to church? I'm going to ask it again. Is my relationship really a relationship with God, or is it just about getting together with my friends that happen to go to church? Because here's the deal, you guys. One of those things will take you into eternity in heaven, and one of those will not. You have to figure out what's most important. In order for you to have a story to share, you must enter into God's story. That's your testimony. When you enter into his story, I want you to think about this. It is absolutely a stunning thought to think that God made me a part of his story. As I was typing last night, just these thoughts were just flooding through my head. And I could picture God someday up in heaven, you know, and we're just sitting around, and God says, "You remember that time? You remember that time, David, when you were 14 and you had a 105-degree temperature? And your first thought was to go downstairs to your living room where your mom and dad were leading a Bible study and to have them pray for you. And you walked back upstairs, broke into a cold sweat. In between 5 and 10 minutes, your temperature was totally normal. I entered into God's story. I'm a part of his story. That's part of God's work. It's part of what he did in this world. And as I've been able to share things like that, it encourages people and helps them to press on in their own relationship with Jesus Christ. Or, David, do you remember that time in Iceland when those boys got lost and they found this lost sheep that was stuck in the mud and they rescued this sheep? And these guys just kind of randomly had this experience and they came to me because of that experience. Or do you remember that time? I'm a part of his story. You're a part of his story. Every time you meet with him at a youth camp, at a youth convention, in a youth service on a Wednesday night, in church on a Sunday morning, when you're laying in bed and worshiping or praying to him, every time you experience God, you become more and more a part of his story. You will never have a story to share until you enter into his story. So here's what you need to do to help you figure this out. You need to search. You need to seek what it is that God's trying to speak to you, what he's trying to teach you in absolutely every circumstance of your life, whether it's good, whether it's bad, if it's hard, if it's difficult. It might be a death. It might be a separated relationship. It might be a mountaintop experience. What is it, God, that you want to do in me because of that experience? That way you become part of his story. So why are we so afraid to share our story with other people? For some of us, it's that we're just plain shy. Anyone identify with that? Yeah, a few of us. Some of us feel like our story isn't good enough because we compare it with other people, like I was saying, and we feel like our story doesn't measure up to someone else's. But that's not what we measure our story by. Some of us have a fear of not knowing the answers to the questions someone might ask. That's one of the cool things about sharing your story is it's your story. It's that story between you and God, and it's really hard for someone to question or to fact check your story. You know, if you're sharing facts and details, that's easy to fact check. But in conversation, I can say, hey, this is what God's done in my heart and what God's done in my life. And that's not nearly as threatening to people if you share that. Most of us know that we've sinned and that we're not worthy. But thank God that is not the basis of his calling on my life. If God was looking for someone who was worthy to share their story, it counts every one of us out. Is that the truth? It's absolutely true. The Bible tells us that the gifts and callings of God are without repentance, and that means he will never, ever, ever be sorry that he put that calling on your life. So how do we overcome our fear? We have to know that sharing our story is just, the word I used here is tantamount. Sharing your story is tantamount to sharing God's story. When you share your spiritual story with another person, you're bringing that other person into God's story. You have to know that you're not alone in the pain that you've experienced and in the sin that you've committed, and that you don't have to live there anymore. That doesn't mean it's okay just to stay there in your sin, but it doesn't disqualify you from the love of God. You got to move on out of there. You have to remember that you've been chosen by God, created for a purpose, and anointed for ministry to others. You need to remember that someone needs to hear your story. Think about it. That horrible thing you went through, that can help you identify with someone who's in the same kind of pain. Someone needs to hear your story. You have to remember that someone needs you to hear their story. Remember that your story is yours and God's, and that it's really hard for someone to argue with that. So here's some things for you to remember as you're thinking about sharing your testimony with someone. Sharing your testimony should never be about you. If your story is, I was really horrible, then I met Jesus, and now I'm amazing, you've missed the point. It's not about me. Our testimony should always point toward Jesus. My story is that I'm a sinner who needed a Savior. Jesus sought me out. He got my attention, and I gave my life to him, committed my life to him. And even though I still struggle sometimes, I never have to go through those struggles alone because he is always with me. He guides me in the path, in the plan that he has set for me. That's my story. It's not about me. Other things to remember. Don't preach at people. You're going to hell. That's not sharing your story. It may be true that that person will spend eternity in the lake of fire, but that's not the way you're going to communicate the grace of God to that person. Just be honest about who Christ is and what he's done in your life. God's Spirit lives inside you from the moment that you first trust Christ as your Savior. The Holy Spirit gives you the power to be his witnesses. Acts 1:8, you'll receive power to be my witnesses. And yeah, I forget the rest of it. I can't believe I did that. We receive power from the Holy Spirit to be his witnesses. You don't need to muster up the courage or even to be an amazing speaker. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5 says, "And so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you." That is so weird. I have an alarm going off. "For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. It's not about my ability. It's not about my speaking skills. It's just about sharing what he has done in my heart and in my life. Other things to remember. Everyone's on a spiritual journey. God's always at work in the lives of others. You can't tell whether someone is moving closer to him or further away from him just by looking at them and their outward appearance. Don't let assumptions keep you from asking others about their spiritual journey and sharing your story of how God has met you. Here's something to remember. Pray. Pray. God, who do you want me to speak to today? Or maybe you notice that person sitting alone in the lunchroom at school, or you know, the person who's outcast, or it may be someone who's really popular. But ask God, who is it you want me to speak to today? It might be a friend, a family member, an acquaintance, someone who doesn't already have a relationship with God. Then ask God to draw that person to himself and to give you the opportunity to speak into their life. Ask God to help you see and take the opportunities he provides to share your story. He might give you that chance in the middle of an everyday conversation, or you could set up a time with someone, or it could be like on our Iceland trips where I don't even give them any warnings, like, Jackson, come on up. You're sharing your story. And, you know, with virtually no warning at all, we have to be ready. Before you begin to share your story, ask the person's permission. If it seems like an uncomfortable situation, you might just say something like, can I tell you a little bit about my experience with God? It'll kind of lower the tension a little bit. Sharing your story is not meant to be a one-way conversation. It's not just you talking to that person. It's a chance to show that you care by listening to and taking an interest in the other person's story. Asking questions is one great way to do this. Share your story in the power of the Holy Spirit and leave the results to God. Hear this. Share your story, but you can't control the end result. You be obedient to do what God's asked you to do and leave the rest to him. No matter how someone responds, continue to pray for them. You never know how the Lord will move in someone's life down the road. Sharing your story isn't about accomplishing a task. It's about loving the person you're talking to. It's someone that God loves and that God wants to be in a relationship with.